All right. Good morning, everybody. Now, when I volunteered to do this, we were going to be at the pavilion, and it was going to be pretty low-key, and I wasn't going to be preaching. I was going to be just sharing a little devotional. So this is different, but I guess God's in control. So, okay. And some of you have encouraged me to do this, and you know who you are. So I'll give you the names later. You can blame them and meet them out in the parking lot or something. So, okay, let's open the Bible today to Philippians 2 and verses 1 through 13. Okay, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the worship service that we've had so far, Lord. I pray that as we continue this service, that our eyes would be fixed on you and everything that we do here would bring honor and glory to your name, Lord. And ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the first thing I want to focus this morning on the last part of verse 12. Paul says, continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does that mean? When he says, work out your salvation, he's not saying that salvation is something you work for, that you do as if it was, you know, a work that you do. Because remember in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I don't think that's big news to any of us. We all realize that salvation is a gift that's accepted. I'm pretty sure we all realize it's not gained by works. Nothing we do can earn us our salvation. So then what does Paul mean when he says, work out your salvation? Let's take a closer look at that phrase. From the Greek word for work out, it's a better description, I think, and it says, to continually to work to bring something to completion. To continually work doesn't mean just say the sinner's prayer and that's it. You're saved and you've got it made. It means there's work to be done once you get saved. The work is putting things in order in your life, getting your priorities straight, namely putting God first. Now, all of this work and putting God first isn't just our own doing, but it's done through the Holy Spirit, his prompting and his inner working within us. Putting God first, that's a big one, and it's easier said than done. Many people say they put God first, but in reality, their lives really don't match up to that. Now, putting him first means every area of your life, not just on Sunday mornings, not just when you're in church, not when you're reading your Bible, doing your devotions, not when you're with your family and friends. It means always. It means when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're in your car, in your garage, when you're in your boat, in your tree stand, in the grocery store, wherever you happen to be, God needs to be first in your life. Your love for God and putting him first needs to be in every part of your body, every aspect of your life. It's not just something that we do in a little compartment of our lives. It needs to be throughout our whole lives. Everything we do needs to be putting God first. In Matthew 22:36-37, a Pharisee asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." So putting God first means more than just spending time in the Bible. You know, not just rushing through it just to be a quick, make sure, okay, I did my devotions, I can check that off for the day, I can feel good about myself. You should spend time reading the Bible, studying, trying to grow and learn more about God so that you can live your life more honoring to Him. Putting God first means spending time in prayer. Now, that's not just hurrying through a list of things that you want and need, but it's actually more of a thing where we recognize God for who He is, and we, you know, our focus in prayer needs to be on Him and not on us or our needs. It should be on Him and growing closer to Him. Now, putting God first also means living your life in a way that those around you see that there's something different about you. Love others. Put others first. Seek the good of others before you think of yourself. Putting God first means turning from and avoiding sin. Don't allow sin to be in your life, any sin to be in your life. Many of us are guilty of thinking, well, yeah, I have sin in my life, but it's not as bad as somebody else's. Sin is sin, and it needs to be out of our lives completely. Now, you know, can we do that? Well, we probably won't be able to be perfect, but what we must do is we must try to sin no more. I mean, we need to try to really avoid that. As Jesus instructed the woman caught in adultery in John 8:11, he said, "Go and sin no more." Now, it's probably not really possible in this life, or at least for me it's not, to sin no more. But if Jesus commanded the woman to go and sin no more, it must be something we should strive for. Our lives should be marked by less and less sin as we mature as believers. Now again, these things aren't works that we do in order to gain salvation, but if anyone has been saved, it's what we're instructed to do. It is what we should want to do. It is what the Holy Spirit working in our lives prompts us to do. Now looking back at that Greek definition of the work out that I said, you know, it's more accurately described by saying to continually to work to bring something to completion. Now the completion here is not our salvation, but our sanctification. We need to strive to rid ourselves of sin and become more and more like Christ every day. Sanctification is a process. We'll never complete this process this side of eternity, but it is what we as Christians are called to work towards daily. Going back to something I mentioned earlier about the sinner's prayer, now there's nothing wrong with a sinner's prayer in and of itself, but growing up in church, it seemed like that was the focus of so much we did. So many times it was like, you know, it was just an escape ticket to avoid hell. You know, it was like, say this prayer or repeat after me. And, you know, if only we could get somebody to say this prayer, then, man, they were all set. But there's really more to just saying that prayer. There has to be something behind that prayer. Sadly, I think that that has led so many people down the wrong path. So many of us, at least I can say for me personally, thought that way too much. I mean, I imagine we all know people that have said that prayer, that have showed little sign or evidence of that afterwards, that there was really ever any change in their life. Now, in and of itself, you know, the sinner's prayer, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, it's putting one's trust and faith in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior is what is the important part. Now, you know, the sinner's prayer does acknowledge our sinful state and our need for forgiveness, but there's really more to it than just that acknowledgement. We have to put our trust in Him. In closing, I'd like all of us to turn to Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Okay, Matthew 7, verse starting in 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" I like the way it says in the King James Version, which is, I'll read that now. It says, "Now everyone that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into..." Not everyone that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, I'd like to have all of you, you know, take some time today, tomorrow, this week, and really think about that phrase, you know, that we let off with, you know, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. I can't help but think there's so many people that fall into the category, you know, that will hear those words from God in that last day. You know, depart from me. I never knew you. How many people have sat in our churches over the years, raised their hands, said that prayer, thinking, oh, yeah, I'm done. I don't have to worry about it, and they never did anything else after that. It's troubling and disturbing to think that they may hear that on that day. I pray that none of us here will hear those words. So I urge all of you, as Paul says in Philippians 2, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for your love for us, and I thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, on the cross for us, Lord. I pray that those of us that have put our faith in you, Lord, that we will work out our salvation, Lord, every day, that we will strive to become more and more like you in everything that we do. Try to remove sin from our lives in any aspect that it is, Lord. I pray that you would open our eyes to it. Help us to just become better followers of you. Help us to grow each day. Help us to love you more every day. In Jesus' name, amen.